You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Boston Red Sox with MLB.com's Red Sox beat reporter, Ian Brown. Ian, it's been a pretty memorable week for anybody who cares about the Red Sox or, frankly, even baseball with the induction of Pedro Martinez. There's a lot we could talk about with Pedro, but I would like to start with, just for you, as somebody who's been around that organization for a long time, is there one moment with Pedro Martinez that stands out?
You know, it's hard to really put one, but if I had to think of one, it would probably be the night in Cleveland in 1999, Game 5, winner take all. Nobody even thought he was going to be able to pitch that night. He didn't start. He had a shoulder/back issue. Came out of the bullpen. He was a very powerful Cleveland Indians team at that time. In a game that was just a slugfest, and threw six no-hit innings out of the bullpen, and just shut up everyone at Jacobs Field. And it was just, his fastball was only about 88, 89 miles an hour that night, and it was just, it was like the Indians were afraid just by the mystique of Pedro and just who he was at that time. So that was probably the one thing, game that jumps out the most for me.
In your time in the game, and the answer to this for me is no, but I would be curious for you, is there anybody that you've seen pitch or play where it was just such an event that day?
Yeah, no, not in his, when you're talking like 1998 through like 2000, until he got hurt in the middle of 2001, he was just so on top of his game that he could just do anything he wanted out there. He was just in complete control. And, at the time I thought it was like watching Michael Jordan as a baseball player every fifth day. He was just that good and that far above everybody else. So I would say no, I've never seen anybody quite like that when he was at his very best. Now, his very best didn't last as long as some other guys, but when he was at his best, I don't think you can find anybody who was that dominant.
Right. I mean, that really is, I think Jordan's in some ways is not a parallel, but in that regard is a parallel, somebody you would just buy a ticket to see. I lived in Seattle for some of Randy Johnson's peak, and he obviously had the better career total in total value. But even Randy, I don't think, ever had that I'm going to see Randy pitch the way that it was you're going to see Pedro pitch.
Yeah, that was a real event, and, Fenway Park would be filled with the Dominican flags all over the place. The guys would have the K cards on the back of the bleachers, and just the seats were full. But back in those days, people would go to the concession stand when the Red Sox were hitting because they didn't want to miss a single pitch that Pedro threw. And he just really took that franchise to another level when he got there in '98. The Red Sox had gone through a little bit of a downturn in 97 after Roger Clemens left, and the team had sort of an uncertain future. He just brought so much excitement, and that's what people will never forget.
It's funny to think back, and I think people were very excited to acquire him at the time, but if I remember correctly, there were some very real worries about what they gave up in that trade. I mean, is that accurate, that to some extent there was some element of, wow, this guy's really good, but holy cow, that's a lot to give up?
No, I don't think so, Matthew. I think because of the age Pedro was at the time, people were really just so excited because they had seen a Red Sox team the year before that didn't have an ace. I think they had Steve Avery or Tom Gordon or someone like that pitch opening day, and they were spoiled, with Roger Clemens, who was kind of another must-see performer for a long time. Having somebody like that, a standout performer. So to get Pedro at that time, after what he had done in 97 in Montreal, I think, people were so excited. Did they know that he was going to become quite what he became? Probably not. But I think that they did give up two good prospects, but I think everyone didn't have a problem with the trade at the time.
Just on a day-to-day basis, what was it like for you covering him?
It was very interesting. There was never a dull moment with Pedro. He could be very bubbly at times. He could be prickly at times. He would get get really hyper when he wasn't pitching, but there's also, he'd get set off by, you would hear something said about him in the media that he didn't like or on a talk show or something, and he'd kind of shut it down and get angry. That whole chip on his shoulder kind of helped fuel his whole career. So he was really quite an interesting character, and just, you never quite knew what you were going to get, but, you know, at his best and when he was happy, there was still pretty more fun to be around than Pedro Martinez, because you just never knew what he was going to say or what he was going to do.
I could probably bug you with this for the entirety of our time here, but I also know that you've done a good bit of talking, and I know there's a season coming up. So do you think that the 2015 Red Sox roster is pretty much set at this point, or do you think there's still significant moves to be made with this club?
Yeah, no, I don't know about significant. I think they're going to make another tweak or two to the bullpen. They did re-sign Craig Breslow, but I think that that bullpen still lacks another lefty, and I think they're going to try and keep looking and see if they can find someone. If not, maybe another good righty who almost has reverse splits and will be tough on lefties. I just think that bullpen needs one more guy. The rotation, hey, it would be great to have a true ace, but they haven't been able to get one to this point, and I just don't know if the market is going to allow it. I think they might be willing to go into the season with what they have, and I think this pitching rotation can compete. But I think that if you want to win a World Series by July, you'll see Ben Sherrington go out there and get a frontline pitcher.
Even putting aside maybe an ace, and obviously that would be a real plus, I look at those candidates, and I only see two guys that I'm really confident are going to go north of 190 innings or so in Porcello and Miley. I mean, I know Masterson's done it some, but to me it seems like, as much as frontline quality, it seems like there's still some, or should be some, worry about innings. Do you see them, even if they can't get a frontline guy, maybe looking for some kind of durable three type to just give them more dependable innings?
Yeah, I think they're still looking out there. You know, they sure hope that Clay Buchholz can finally put together a 200 inning season. Joe Kelly has had sort of some similar durability issues in his career. They're hopeful that those guys could give them 200 innings. But yeah, they have to cover the bases. They have to stay on the hunt for depth. And look, they feel good about their stable of young talent too. So I think they feel that if one of these guys goes down, they have some young pitchers who might be ready to plug in there, be it Matt Barnes, be it Brandon Workman, be it Henry Owens, one of those guys. So I think that they're looking at the market and seeing what's out there. So it's just they haven't been able to find anything yet, and it's just that the price of quality pitching is expensive right now, and they just haven't been able to find the right deal.
And with that said, I mean, there still are two and three, depending on how you feel about James Shields, really desirable starting pitchers presumably available. Max Scherzer in free agency. Cole Hamels, I don't know that the Phillies are desperate, but I think it's clear that the right package gets him. What do you think is their level of seriousness about one of those kinds of guys at this point?
Yeah, I would just almost rule out, you hate to rule out something entirely, but I would rule out pretty strongly Max Scherzer, because the Red Sox showed that they had a limit on what they were willing to spend there with John Lester. They went as high as $135 million. I mean, you figure it's going to take another $30 million at least to get Max Scherzer. And so all of a sudden, are they going to spend that money on Max Scherzer that they didn't spend on John Lester? I'm very skeptical of that. Shields, we'll see what the price tag ends up being. I wouldn't rule that out. Hamels, they've had a number of talks already with the Phillies, and they haven't been able to find common ground, but that would be a great scenario, and that would be almost like a little bit of a cheaper version of John Lester. We'd just have to see if he could handle pitching in the American League. And you also look at Jordan Zimmerman, who might be available at some point in the trade. So yeah, I think Charrington is still exploring and still they don't play till April. I think everybody wants to envision what this roster is going to be right now here in early January. But Sherrington, I think, is being patient and seeing if a deal comes to him that makes sense. If he can get one before that season starts on April 5th, I think that he'll make one.
In addition to potential additions, apologies for the double there, it also seems like there's a real opportunity or maybe even a necessity for a subtraction. This club still seems to me has more outfielders than it can carry on its roster. Do you anticipate seeing somebody moved, even just to clear roster space, if not to add some talent to the system or maybe acquire something beyond that?
Yeah, Matthew, I really don't think that Alan Craig is going to be on this team come opening day. I think that he might come to spring training, because I think a lot of other teams want to see if he's swinging the bat a little better and a little healthier than he was last year. But to me, he doesn't fit so well on this team right now, just when you look at all they have in the outfield. And Shane Victorino, I think that, you know, his first of all, his salary makes him very hard to trade. Second of all, you're counting on some young guys in the outfield, and Victorino could be a nice piece to at least complement against a lot of lefties. Still very good defensively, so I think that they like him. So I really think that Craig is going to be the guy who you see moved at some point, just to clear out some space.
All right. Well, Ian Brown, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.